and welcome to the J Train Podcast. It's J Train, Jared Free, coming to you live from the Southern Quarantine Cabin in Boca. We're here every Monday and Thursday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how it all works. This is a user-generated show. You send the emails. I answer them with my great guests. And then you tell a friend and you say, hey, you got to check out this great podcast. Make it your Instagram story. That is a great non-confrontational way to tell people. And I get it. You say, hey, you got to check out this podcast. I'm not a podcast person. Get the fuck away from me. I get it. I've been there. Make it your Instagram story. Tag me. Tag the friend that you know should be taking this advice perspective, having a laugh. And listen, I'm doing stuff on Patreon, patreon.com/Jared Freed. 3 extra podcasts a week, $5 a month. That's what we call a deal here in Boca. And then also I'm doing touring. Atlanta, Albany, New York. Someone wrote to me. They're like, oh, when I heard Albany, I thought you meant Albany, Georgia. No. I don't even know if there is an Albany, Georgia. I don't know what you're talking about. Atlanta, Georgia, Albany, New York. The J train's coming to your town. Bring in the funnies. I bring in a big bag with all my props. So listen, jaredfree.com for tickets. Go, go, go. Bring the group chat, the Quarren squad, whoever you want to come with, because I got a whole new set of material. Because listen, and if you're not sure, if you have a friend like, what's he like? There's a special and it's all 2020 jokes. Socially distance, of course. That's the special. It is on YouTube right now. I want you to use, they're out there. It's free. Why am I begging you? Okay. YouTube.com/Jared Freed. YouTube.com/Jared Freed. Socially distance, of course. The feedback has been amazing. It's too much. It's too much, but I'll take some more. So watch that. Patreon, live dates. It's all happening. The world's coming back. It's the era of positivity, the sexy summer that we all wanted. Very excited about today's guest. An OKP, and sometimes I call someone an OKP, original key player, and like they've been on once, but like I would say this guest is one of the OOKPs, original key players, hilarious comic, a writer for Ted Lasso, everyone's favorite show, also the host of the new Netflix series, The Wedding Coach, Jamie Lee. Thank you for coming on, Jamie.
Oh my good God, it's great to be back. Love it. It's
a pleasure to have you. I mean, for anyone out there, you're going to love Jamie Lee if you don't already. At Really Jamie Lee on Instagram. The Wedding Coach, it's out right now on Netflix. This is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting and everyone should watch it. It's so weird promoting yourself. Everyone watch me.
It's so psychotic. Weird, but I think like some people call me the Prince of Promos, and I'll promote you. You don't have to do yourself.
Okay.
Because
I
want to discuss with you the show. It's called The Wedding Coach. I know the audience of this show, of this podcast. Everyone listening is going to love this. You're going to binge the whole thing. It is a perfect put your brain on the shelf show. It's a perfect show to watch with a significant other because you can kind of see their vibe on wedding planning, right? Like you can see how they interact with a wedding. And I would say the show is very relatable. I would say the word is relatable because you're walking in going, I'm not here to judge, but I'm here to judge. Like you're real talking these people about their wedding, right?
Yeah, definitely real talking and like just trying to help them feel less alone. Cause I think that a lot of people, even though during wedding planning, you're like, you have people around you kind of constantly, it could still be a really lonely experience. So yeah, I think I'm there to like, just like be a friend and help in any way I can.
Well, the first episode is the perfect example. Like, here was my takeaway. The first episode.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
You meet with this couple that lives in LA, but the family's all East Coast.
Right.
Right?
Rochester. Yeah.
Rochester, New York, which I've been to. Nice town.
Yeah,
fun
it is nice.
Town. Like, they love eating garbage plates, but that's actually delicious. So, my feeling was this couple was kind of obsessed with letting their East Coast friends know they're doing well.
Mm, That's an interesting, I like that. I hadn't thought about that. Sure.
Because she had a fortune teller. They're playing Cam Jam.
Yeah.
They gotta have. And
that's
I was like, this is so much fun in games. I was like, what is this? The Dave and Buster's they're creating?
I know. Yes, agreed. That was one of the main pieces of advice I tried to give them. I think that like a lot of weddings now, like I understand the impulse of being like, we have to give guests a lot to do, because actually I think it comes from a place of like a little bit of like insecurity, like of being in the limelight, because you're basically with all of those activities saying like, don't look at us, like go over there, go play a game, sure. Go do anything else. Like, I don't want to like have a bunch of people staring at me all night.
and yeah, you want to like,
so I do understand.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go.
No, but I also I want to let people, like, I also want people to like list off the things that I can't make sure everyone dances, but I can make sure they go home and go, they had a fortune teller. They had a drink bar. They had, you know, like
it's almost
built-in brags.
It is a built-in brag. That is such a good perspective. It is a built-in brag. You're right.
And
it's not necessary, because no one really is evaluating your wedding on whether or not you had a fortune teller. I actually went to a birthday party, a friend's 40th birthday, and it was like they rented out this really cool venue and they had a fortune teller. And I was like ready to go after like half an hour. I was like, I don't give a shit who you have here, what kind of cool food you have. Like, the vibe is not good. And like, honestly, vibe with weddings usually is just set by the couple being into each other. So if you guys like each other, like, people are probably gonna like your wedding.
I totally agree. As much as and as happy as everyone else is for the couple, like, you go to those weddings where you're like, where everyone's like kind of like, are they gonna make it? The wedding's not gonna be great.
No matter what kind of attention to detail you paid, or how nice your centerpieces are, like, none of that will change the fact that like you look at the couple and you're like, oh, they don't fuck.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. If they don't fuck, we all don't want to dry hump on the dance floor.
No.
Nobody wants to dance at a wedding that they might have to go to again.
Like, totally. Like, that is such a yes, 100%. That is right. Yeah.
So I would say also from the first episode, what was interesting, and actually, like, it's like I was wondering, what's it like? Because the first episode, this woman who's getting married, it seemed like she just had not a lot of connection to her friends. She wasn't having a bachelorette party.
Right.
And you guys flew in her sisters, and you kind of had this bachelorette party for her. And I was I was like, wow, Jamie's the perfect host for this show, because it does feel like you could waltz in and be someone's friend. Like, it didn't feel fake to me. Like, it was really nice to see you there for this woman who, like, had kind of lost track of everything. She's too busy, like, you know, looking for fortune tellers to come to her Rochester wedding. Like,
that's true. Yeah, I actually, I appreciate you saying that. I do think that that's true. I think that I can make friends with most people pretty quickly. Like, I don't know. I do think that I'm able to host the show in that way. Also, I think some of that comes from like being an only child. And like, when I was a kid, like, I don't have a sibling to hang out with. So like, you really had to make a fucking effort if you like wanted people in your life. Like, you had to go up to kids and be like, do you want to play with me? Like, you had to assert yourself to make friends. And I do think that is like a lifelong skill that I've carried with me, where I'm like, oh, my only childness actually paid off in this weird way.
Absolutely. Because I, you know, the other show that I would compare it to, even though they're not alike, is Four Weddings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because in Four Weddings,
I love
it's
that
these.
Show.
I love that show.
It
is fantastic. The fact that the weddings are competing against each other—that's great.
I mean, genius. Yeah,
I mean, so genius. And
so, it's such
hidden
trash. I'm obsessed.
Oh, and you just can tell how much each wedding costs, or they tell you the budget, which is even better. Like, I you know. So, but the fact that they don't account for the budget, you should get more points on a, you know, whatever. But I have my issues with Four Weddings. But the thing that doesn't ring as true on Four Weddings is, like, I wouldn't want those three other women at my wedding. Like, they're there judging it to like, you know, like to like cut it down. You're there to prop it up. So What was it like being at someone's wedding who you just met?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, we do spend time with the couple leading up to the wedding. Mm-hmm. So I do think that you do kind of like acclimate to them. It doesn't feel like, oh, these are strangers by the time we actually went to the wedding. But, you know, I didn't feel like a wedding planner. I definitely don't have the skills to be that person. But I was sort of adjacent to a wedding planner in terms of like having a little authority. Mm. Like people knew they could come up to me and ask me questions. Like I was kind of this like in between role where I was like kind of a bridesmaid, kind of working the wedding. Like I was just kind of this like catch all for, hey, if there are any issues, like find old JL and, you know, she'll handle it.
Well, I definitely felt that. I think everyone needs to go watch The Wedding Coach. It's on Netflix. Binge the whole series. It's fantastic. It's a perfect thing to just like, because I love Say Yes to the Dress. I love Four Weddings. I just love hearing the perspective of someone. And you say this in the beginning, like they're surrounded by liars. Yeah. Their friends are liars. Their wedding planner's getting paid by them. Yeah. You come in and you go, what the fuck is a fortune teller doing? I hate to bring up the fortune teller, but I'm like, you're like, I mean, the first thing you say with the first couple is you're like, why are we playing Can Jam? Like, why?
Right.
And what they had this? No reason.
Do you even like, no, they also like, she didn't even like it. Remember the Frisbee part? She's like, I hate Frisbee. And I was like, okay, then why are you having it at your wedding? Like, you don't need to play. No one needs to be Frisbeeing at your wedding. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and how? And then the other interesting part, I mean, I guess the most interesting part, the salacious part is you're like, you guys aren't having sex. Like,
right.
how do you talk to a couple that can't even talk to each other about that?
I mean, I think it's just a level of like brazenness on my part where I just come in and insert myself. I mean, also, it is nice that the conceit of the show is like, hey, guys, you know, like Jamie's going to come in and like, you know, she's going to like analyze what's going on and like she's going to be up in your shit. Like, you understand that, right? And they all are like, yeah, we know what we're getting into. So luckily that is set for me as a host. I don't have to go in fully blind. Like, I know that they know I'm coming kind of thing.
They're asking for a shakeup.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, I think, and you probably feel this way too, I think because we're in comedy, no subject feels off limits to me in my life. Like I would talk to like someone's grandmother I'd never met about blowjobs if I had to, or like, I don't know in what scenario I would have to, but you know, fun hypothetical.
You know, if you're put into a, you know, grandma
gun to the head, if you have to talk to grandma about blowjobs. But no, I do feel like all subjects are kind of equal in my mind. And so I think because I speak about sex in sort of not detached, but like not, you know, the opposite of puritanical. I'm just kind of like, yeah, let's put it all out there. So I think if you have someone speaking to you like that, it does put them at ease, because I think it's, if I were nervous to talk about it, then that would make them more nervous. But the fact that I was like, come on, we're all adults here, I think they were more like, oh yeah, we are. Like, let's discuss this.
Absolutely. And I think that's like, you know, that's the perfect segue to what we're going to do today. You know, answering these emails, you've been on the show before, you know,
I
always say comics, you know, nobody comes on this show an expert. The reason that comics are so good at hearing your problems or life advice or dating problems is that because we don't go, you're talking to your grandma about a blowjob. We go, okay, so we're talking about a grandma. Blowjob. You know, like we come at every subject the same way, because
truly
what's to be shocked at? And we're just taking the information, and it that's why comedians, the great comedians go, what's the subject? And then they go, okay, let me figure out what my perspective is.
Totally.
It's not about coming in going, well, who talks to a grandma about such subjects? Like, no. We talk about everything, you know, and just and that's why, like, I always say, like, advice is easy to give. It's harder to take. You went through a wedding. Yeah. You say it in the beginning of the show. A wedding process is a extremely hard thing to go through if you're in it. When you come in like, oh, boom, 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 get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of this. It's easy because we're not clouded by, this already preconceived notion of you.
I also love what you said about comedians, like, because I think I got a few, not too many, but I got a few interview questions along the way promoting the show about like why should a comedian go in and be the person helping? But I actually think comedians are so hyper in tune with each other, with themselves. Mm-hmm. Like we are kind of in the business of knowing how we feel about things. And I do think there's like a level of compassion there. I think the way like comedians bond with each other, like we're instant friends in this way, like as if we went to summer camp with each other for years and years, like it's kind of crazy. So I actually think we're the most like open and ready to take on someone else's problems in a lot of ways.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, there's comedians, I see them on stage and then they come off and I've never met them and I go, I know you. Like I know exactly where you come from. I get it. And you know, you're already like this far ahead. I mean, when you come into this person's wedding and you go, you're not having sex? Okay. Let's talk about it. When's the last time? Who, what needs to happen? Why aren't you doing it? You know, like, and again, it comes into this world that isn't the world today. The world today is black and white. Everyone wants to take a side. And I think comics go, hey, everything's gray. Like nothing's good, nothing's bad. You know, it's just is. So
yeah, and we're also not shocked by anything. So like we're good people to bounce your issues off of because there's not going to be anything that you say to me where I'm going to be like, "Oh my god, like none of it." Not that I'm not empathetic or compassionate towards it. It's just like the subject matter itself will never shock me. It just won't. Unless you're like a fucking like incel QAnon person, like, you know, where you're like, you know, surfing the dark web to get your rocks off. Other than that, I'm pretty unaffected.
Well, wouldn't you have it? The first email, QAnon dark web surfer. Okay. Let's do the emails. You ready? Everyone needs to go watch The Wedding Coach. Make it a part of your weekend. This is coming out on Thursday. So, and here's the thing. Let me go into Prince of Promos mode. Because
love this Prince of Promos.
Here's the added bonus of searching your show on Netflix. Because there's a couple things. We all do the thing on Netflix, search, and then watch the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
It's a horrible process. So now I am rubber stamping, giving you the permission to stop searching, put in The Wedding Coach, watch the whole season, have a fun time with it. Here's the other beauty of it. You have now changed your algorithm. You have taken a hard right that you never would have taken. If The Wedding Coach isn't on your front page, now this is taking you down a road that your algorithm has never been on. Now you're going to be on fun reality TV Netflix instead of like sad documentary Netflix, right?
That's right. It's a great point. You determine the algorithm. Don't let it, you know... It's
determine
creepy.
You.
Yeah, don't let it determine you.
That's right. So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. This one's called Small Town Romance. Jared, okay. Big fan. Hopefully you can come tour out in Colorado soon. I would love to go anywhere. Like, this is something comedians get all the time. Come to blank.
Like,
I'll
sure,
go anywhere.
No problem.
Sure.
See you there.
It is really not in my hands. If you have a local comedy club, all you got to do, DM their Instagram, I want Jared Freed. And if enough people do that, then they'll bring me out because they think they can make money off of me, and
that's
we all
right.
win. So go do that. So, okay, so here's the deal. I grew up in a tight-knit ski town community where all the locals know everything about everyone. Recently, I moved back and reconnected with some buddies that I've known for the majority of my life. One of those buddies is a family friend that I've known since I was 10 years old. We have all the same interests in mountain bike, fish, and ski together a few times a week. The problem is, before we get to the problem, this is a very relatable, like, pandemic-y, you know, Hallmark movie issue right now. A lot of people are moving home, reconnecting. They're coming home for a time that's not Thanksgiving. They're staying at their parents' place. And this is like the plot of
Just Friends, by the way, the Ryan Reynolds movie. I'm like, hold on.
Wait a minute. The problem is that all our friends are getting involved and always asking, so what's happening with you and so-and-so?
Right.
Or have you and so-and-so done anything yet? and so-and-so and you would be a great pair. He's the best guy. The whole town is hyping this man up to me. I know he's great, and I love his family and being around him, but I feel like there's already all this pressure to be together. News spreads in my town like wildfire, so everyone already knows we're interested in each other, but I'm hesitant to get anything serious started because I like to keep my private life private. Any thoughts? Jamie Lee, what do you think?
Can't you guys just hook up and not tell anyone?
Like, yeah,
if the spreading is already started, if people are already like, hey, so what's up with you two? I mean, that part has already begun. So I don't think you're going to reverse that at this point. So I think you can just start, you know, boning on the regs and then just don't tell anybody it's happening. Also, if they find out, it's fine. You'll be fine.
I love that perspective because let's just, like, it's 2021. We got through, we're getting through a pandemic. Let's just start boning on the regs and start being a little bit more honest. Like, have the fun. Here's the other thing I would say to them. And this is I think this is the most important thing. I know everyone cares, but they don't care. You are
such
fodder.
A good point. No one really cares. Nobody.
And it feels like they care. I get it. It's all a mirage. They care because you are levity. You are entertainment to get away from their own problems, their own things. So, and in a small town, I know it feels like everyone lives in the ski town and we're all perfect. We all hang in our, you know, fucking cabins, but no. Everyone's got problems and you are a fun diversion because it's young love. Everyone likes to talk about that thing. So, but let's say you guys get together. They're going to stop asking. It becomes boring very quickly.
That is true. Yeah. The flame is going to burn out for them for sure.
So, like,
also, because it's almost like, oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Please.
I was just going to say people are excited about like the ramp up to are you two going to get together? But no one really gossips like, they're together. It's like, wow, okay. So, like, yeah, you know what I mean? So once you solidify it, it actually will like de-spice in the eyes of the people talking about you.
Well, to add on to your point, every sitcom ends when the will they won't they becomes a will they.
Absolutely.
So like Jim and Pam get married, the show ends.
We don't care. Yep.
We don't give a fuck about them anymore.
They tried to do the baby thing. We're like, what? Change the channel.
Exactly. So people are going to change the channel on you. So the most important part, and I think to this person, is try and forget. You know, when people ask, just be like, I like him. He's cool. And be whatever about it. But I think you need to talk to this guy and just be like, and here's the problem that you really have that she's not even accepting. She says, I like to keep my private life private. Well, it's going to be private beyond we're hooking up. Fine.
Yeah.
The problem she's not really acknowledging is you've known each other since 10 years old. So, and the reason she's worried about the whole town, I think, is because when you know someone since 10 years old, this happens quickly. That means quick together. That means also there's emotional risk going on. It could break up really quickly. You could find out this isn't the one. But I think like if you're both interested, you have to acknowledge, hey, I like you. You like me. I want to have fun with you. We need to talk this out. You have to almost be over communicative of like, I know once we start, we might be in a relationship very quickly, but we have to start.
Yeah. That's right. I think the communication is very helpful, especially if the two of you are feeling like there's an added pressure because you grew up together. I think that makes a lot of sense.
And maybe you two keep it a secret and you guys have fun with that for as long as it can be fun. Maybe that's your first month to keep it casual.
That's also like kind of hot. Like
so hot. Small town
like,
secrets.
We can't tell anyone on the ski slopes. Like there's something... You know, there's just something kind of, sort of winter wonderland cute about keeping it on the DL.
Totally. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Truff. I love using Truff, and I love what they're doing because for me, I'm trying to eat a little bit healthier. And when you're eating healthier, you have a lot of the same types of meals. You have your, you know, your egg whites, and you have your turkey sandwiches, and you have your grilled chickens, and you have vegetables. And so you're looking for something to add into them to make them a little bit better, a little bit more luxurious, to enjoy it. And Truff helps me do that. I'm putting the hot sauce on eggs every morning. And now they've added to their product line. You love Truff as your go-to hot sauce provider, and now it's time to make even more room on your shelf because, drum roll please, they've finally expanded their products to include ever more truffle. Flavor-packed goodness. That's a long sentence. Truff pasta sauce. So here's the thing. I want to have a whole wheat pasta with some sauce. Now they got Truff pasta sauce. Now I can have a luxurious, delicious meal. They have Truff mayonnaise. I put it on my turkey sandwich, a little dab, and it takes me to a different place. Now I'm not having a boring, old, you know, healthy turkey sandwich. I'm having a truffle mayonnaise turkey sandwich that is so delicious that I enjoy every bite. And the Truff pasta sauce comes in black truffle pomodoro and spicy black truffle arrabbiata. Listen, it's only launched a few months ago. Truff pasta sauce is already the number one bestseller on Amazon. I have had the pasta sauce, I've had the mayonnaise, and I've had the hot sauce, and it's all delicious. But more importantly, it helps me put a variation on a boring meal that is amazing, fun, and delicious. And this is like bringing that guy with the truffle shaver into your home. He's there shaving on top of everything. He lives in the jar now, and you can have that amazing taste whenever you want. And let me just say, the pasta sauce, the mayonnaise, oh, to dip a fry in there, ooh, the hot sauce, all of them are beautiful gift sets. I gave one of the hot sauce sets to a friend, and it was like, they were like, I owe you. They couldn't stop. They were going on and on. The mayo is seriously the greatest thing you'll ever taste. It will turn a turkey wrap into a culinary experience. I'm telling you that right now. The hot sauce started it all. Truff is the first of its kind, a luxury hot sauce with an ultra unique blend of real black truffles and spice. Okay. So let's get you some free money for this beautiful gift, or just something great for yourself that's going to improve every meal you eat. And just for my listeners, they're going to give you an even better offer. Get 15% off site-wide plus free shipping with promo code JTRAIN at Truff.com. That's 15% off plus free shipping on everything. Just shop at Truff.com. That's T-R-U-F-F, F as in fantastic, .com. Use promo code JTRAIN. The J Train podcast is sponsored by Ritual. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual is a clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. Do you really know what's in your multivitamin? Sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, artificial colorants, not to mention animal byproducts like sheep's wool and gelatin from hooves and hides are all ingredients you might find in a multivitamin. I love that Ritual lets you know exactly what's in it. Ritual is great. It makes taking vitamins easy, and I love it. It's made traceable. You'll always know what you're taking and where the nutrients come from, thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. Ritual makes healthy habits easy. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. I'm telling you right now, I am a big multivitamin user. I think just the act of, you know, and pun intended, the act of, you know, going through with the ritual makes you more in sync with a healthier day. Because you're acting on it from minute one when you wake up, you take that pill and you feel good that you're doing something good for your body. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/JTRAIN to start your ritual today. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com, JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jamie Lee, The Wedding Coach. It's on Netflix right now. Now, binge it all. I need you to do that right now. Add it to the queue. Do they have a queue still? I don't even know.
I don't know.
They got to have something like that. Add it to your favorites. Whatever you can add it to,
just start
add
it to that. Just start watching it. Stop watching what you're watching. Who cares about the serpent? Just go to the wedding coach.
Let it run right now. Just let it run. You know, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Meeting a Twitter crush. Okay. Jared, been listening to this podcast for a while. I'm also a huge fan of You Up. This may come off as a weird comment, but I know it takes a lot of hard work to do well in comedy, and I really admire your dedication and work ethic. I appreciate that. It always, I don't know, as a comic, the work hard comic is...
I know what you mean.
We always take that as like, ugh. Just say, you're funny. I enjoy it. But, you know,
good job, buddy. Keep going.
Keep hustling. It really seems like you try really hard for the fine career that you've built. Okay. Over the summer, I slid into the DMs of this guy I follow on Twitter, who I think is really cute and lives in NYC. I live in DC. After a few conversations, I asked if he wanted to get coffee the next time he was in town because I knew he often stops in DC on his way to visit family. He said he would like to, but obviously due to the pandemic, neither of us have been doing much traveling. We still talk occasionally on Twitter and like reply to each other's tweets. I am going to be fully vaccinated soon, so in order to celebrate, I'm going to visit my NYC friends who I have not seen in over a year. I figured as the trip comes closer, I'll reach out to him and ask if he wants to meet. I have a few questions. What should I suggest we do when I'm in NYC, and how should I even phrase this question? From what I've seen on his Twitter, I think he is very cute and funny, but I have no idea what the dynamic will be in person. Also, I fully acknowledge that nothing serious may come of this, and I'm definitely okay with it just being a one-time hangout and potential hookup sort of thing. He does not drink, so I can't do the typical let's get drinks and head to your place move. I also don't even know how to express that I'd be down to hook up once we meet. I'm very friendly and outgoing, but most people have told me I come off as aloof when it comes to sex and dating. I think I'm worried about coming off as too strong and make guys uncomfortable. With the DMs, I am the one to always initiate, but he always replies quickly and keeps the conversation going. I am unsure if that information is useful to you in any way, but I guess it doesn't hurt to share. Thank you so much if you take the time to reply. Jamie Lee, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm going to throw it to you. I'm actually curious for the guy perspective on this. And sure. I'm wondering how it'll inform my perspective, because I think I'm a little on the fence about a few things. So, Okay. Yeah, you weigh in.
So I'll answer a couple of her things. Like,
okay,
I understand why she asked, like, the idea of making him uncomfortable. He's going to be made uncomfortable for different reasons than a woman may feel uncomfortable. I don't mean to gender this, but I would say this is gender specific because... You know, the idea of you coming to murder him is not on his mind. And that's just the privilege of being a man, is that a woman approaches you, you don't go, will she hurt me? Like, you know, maybe emotionally, but, you know, I think the one thing you're worried about, especially if he's someone you follow on Twitter. So I would say, does he have a following? He may worried about being, you know, the things he's worried about are like, being outed or being, you know, embarrassed because he hooked up with, quote unquote, maybe a fan. Like, these are things that, like, you know, in 2021, people kind of can look down on. So I think all of those things will be on his mind more than, hey, this cute woman wants to hook up with me. Do you know what I mean? I would say otherwise, he doesn't drink. I think getting a cup of coffee and being like, I think being a little bit vulnerable, and this kind of goes with the 2021, the era of being more honest, and she already is being more honest. You can tell. She's like, I'm fully vaccinated. I want to get together with this guy. I think that's all like positive, fun, and honest, but he doesn't know how honest you are. We do, because you're at a podcast where there's no reason for you to lie. So I would say, saying to him, hey, I would do this. I would make it, the way I would play it is... get away from the Twitter DM world and into the phone number.
Love that advice. Absolutely. Yeah. Take it to texts.
Take it to texts and make him make an effort, but also let him know that you are, after all this time, hey, I know this might come as a surprise, but I'm coming to New York City because I'm fully vaccinated. I've always had a little crush on you on Twitter, but I would love to get together for coffee. Here's my number. Now... he knows the crush.
It's in his, and it's
the numbers in his phone.
Yep.
He can do it. So what do you think of this, Jamie?
Well, I guess First of all, I want to second your advice for coffee. Not that I think you always have to have like something going on vice wise to like socially lubricate a situation, but damn, does it help. So sure. If you guys can get like fired up on some caffeine where you're like Chatsville, USA, I mean, I think definitely do that if you can't have alcohol. And if he doesn't drink coffee, then, you know, this situation is really stressing me out if he doesn't like coffee. But anyways, I'm not going to judge.
Mormon. He's
yeah, I know. I was like, no. But I think I totally agree with your advice. I think that the main thing is like, you do want to see him. And I think the more direct you can be, I would hope that that wouldn't deter someone. I think being direct is, I don't think it's aggressive. I think there's a big difference between direct and aggressive. And I understand as a woman feeling like when we are like, honestly, just confident, we always feel like, oh, I'm like being a bit much, you know? And it's like, you're not, like, you're just being a normal human being. So definitely put yourself out there and feel it out. And if you guys have fun in person, great. And if not, you will now know that because you did hang out with him.
I totally agree. And there's the direct versus aggressive thing. I mean, I don't believe in too anything. Like, too much, too
right,
too weird, too. There's no such thing as too. To me, when she says, like, all you have to make sure, I think it's always, like, the difference between direct and aggressive is honesty. When, like, if you go, I think you're really cute, we always have a good time talking here, I'd love to get coffee when I'm in town. What about that is dishonest?
There's nothing. Yeah, it's not even dishonest. It's also not so vulnerable that you're like, I can't believe I said that. It's like, literally stating facts, which is that you guys connected over Twitter and now you have an opportunity to see each other face to face. Like, all of that is just the facts. There's no spin. That's not editorialized at all. That's just what is happening. So if he takes that as like, whoa, 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 slow down. Like, that is not your guy anyway.
Totally agree. It's not your guy. And also, what a lot of times women do is to avoid that move, they'll go, so when are you going to ask me out for drinks? And I'm like, always think that is annoying.
Yeah.
More than
it is.
You know what I mean? Like, totally. Oh, now you're challenging my manhood because I haven't done this yet. I don't even know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that, like, so when are you going to ask me? It's a little like Western saloon speak, like, oh, when are we gonna, it's just a little like dated or something.
It does
so
feel dated.
I agree. The modern way is what Jared suggested, which is just like, call a spade, say the things and hope for the best.
And the coffee is your chance to see if you like him. So, and then here's what you do. You're there in New York with your friends. You and your friends are going to have nighttime plans. Just because he doesn't drink doesn't mean he doesn't go out at night. You said, you know, whatever. So, hey, this was so much fun. Take my number. I'm going to be out with friends. Now there's a little bit more safety because public coffee, come meet up with me and my friends. Friends can kind of look him up and down. Again, I, you know, the safety thing is something before having this podcast, I don't think I would have thought of it. And I don't think a lot of guys think of it. And again, a privilege of being a guy, but you got to be safety for yourself. You got to make sure he's not a monster as much as, you know what I mean?
So, wait, Jared, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What was your guy perspective on the fact that she initiates the DMs, but then he's very responsive? Like, do you think that matters or?
I think that means guys love options.
Okay.
So I think that was his key. I think that's why I don't think her saying, I think you're cute, is a bad thing, because he thinks she's cute. Like,
okay,
there's no question of that if he's responsive. That's why when she, the only reason I'm like kind of pushing this is she mentioned that he's not, I don't care if it's just a hookup. Okay, I'll take you at your word. Maybe it becomes more, but she seems very realistic of like what this whole thing could be. To me, he's not thinking of like 10 years from now. He's thinking of like, you know, hooking up at a minimum, at a maximum. Right. So he's thinking of like right before coming.
Yeah.
So, and then he'll deal with the rest later. So,
right.
I think what he's doing is he knows she's far away. He knows he wants that option when it's convenient for him. Now it's become convenient. She's bringing the convenience to him. This is kind of the payoff to something he's kept going for a long time. Because putting the number in his phone is a way of being like, okay, how much effort are you willing to, will you even put the effort of like meeting me out for coffee? That's the test she's giving him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Jenny Kane. Jenny Kane turns your everyday moments into something special with items like their leather safari chair and alpaca basket weave throw. It's the little things that make all the difference. You've probably heard about Jenny Kane from your LA friends, and now you can get it anywhere in the world. Bring that California cool into your home. If you go surf the website of Jenny Kane, you will feel like you're in California. It just has that look. Everything on the site has that look of just comfy and luxurious at the same time. And I'll tell you right now, I have the candles. The candles smell unbelievable. They're a great addition to my apartment, and they bring me to a different place when I light them. Their signature pieces range from candles to slippers. They have everything you need for your home at home retreat. It does feel retreaty. That everything has that look of you're staying at a beautiful hotel. And that's kind of what we want for our homes. We want our homes to feel like we're on vacation all the time. California inspired scents coveted by all that are hand poured in Los Angeles. From Sherling to Suede, Jenny Kane slippers are the ultimate indoor indulgence, made with exceptional quality, integrity, and timeless design in mind. These are the pieces you'll love coming home to. Grounded in natural textures and inviting neutrals, Jenny Kane creates California inspired classics for any room or mood. It's also a great place for gifts. It's a little different. It's very cool. It's beautiful. Everything on the site just looks like something in a home that I would think is an upscale home. And it's a great place to find a gift. Find your forever pieces at JennyKane.com and get 15% off your first order when you use code JTRAIN at checkout. That's JennyKane.com. JennyKane.com, promo code JTRAIN. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Features. You got to keep yourself in top form. And that starts with the basics. If your feet feel good, your body's going to feel good. We always want to put our best foot forward, but sometimes we forget to take care of our feet. To perform at your best, you need to feel your best from head to toe. Their socks have a custom-like fit that conforms to the unique shape of your foot. They've designed socks with different kinds of support, like their plantar fasciitis relief socks, specially crafted with targeted compression and extra support to relieve heel and arch pain. I love these socks. I've requested more. That's how much I love them. They send me a bunch and then I wear them and now they've become my go-to socks. And here's the thing. Right now in your drawer, in your sock drawer, you have a pair of socks you're dealing with. Not that you love, not that you like, you're dealing with them. They come up on laundry days. It's time to throw those away and replace them with Features. Make your worst socks your best socks right now. And improve your life. Features plantar fasciitis relief socks are specially designed to ease the heel and arch pain from plantar fasciitis. Three zones of targeted compression to lift, stretch, and stabilize the plantar fascia and support your Achilles tendon. High density cushioning for added comfort without additional bulkiness. And they designed the perfect toe so there's no irritating seam that rubs against your toes. Targeted compression where your feet need it most for better comfort and support, plus prevention of bunching, slipping, or sliding down into your shoe. The anatomical design conforms to the left and right shape of the foot, creating a custom-like fit that keeps the sock in place no matter what you're doing. Give your feet the relief they deserve with Features. You'll even get $10 off your first pair of Features when you go to features.com/JTrain. Plus, Features is so confident that you'll love their socks that if you don't love them, they'll take them back. That's FEETURES.com/JTRAIN. Features.com/JTRAIN for $10 off your first pair of Features. JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jamie Lee, the wedding coach. Go, go, go right now. You need to get involved with the wedding coach. This has got a dude email. We get so many. You came on this show so early in the process that, I mean, we have totally changed over. So a guy email is kind of like, you know, a different thing for us. You ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
Father, Son, and the Holy Ghosted. I love that title.
Great title.
Papa JT, TD Freed, Dearest Climax Czar. One of my earlier nicknames. Pulling out my 10-foot feather, listener since the TFM days. Love all the content you've been putting out. Keep it up. Now for my problem. I'm a 23-year-old guy living in the Midwest. In January of this year, I matched with a 20-year-old on Tinder, 886. Okay, so we used to have a rating system here on the podcast. We still have it. Face, body, personality.
Oh, okay.
He's saying it's an 886.
Damn.
Okay, we started talking. What a description. I would take it.
Like, I think if, like, okay. If someone was like 886, I'd be like, oh man, like my personality is only a 6. That sucks.
Yeah, I would be like, wow, I've really been counting on the wrong things.
Yeah. You know,
like, we started talking and shortly after started going on dates. Dates transitioned to hanging at my place, her parents' house since she's still in college, since everything was mostly still shut down due to COVID. About 8 dates in, we hook up, nice, and things went well. Fast forward about a week, we've been talking every day. She's telling me how much her parents and her sister like me, and everything seems normal. My grandma ends up getting sick and passes away. Oh, I'm sorry. So I had to cancel on plans we had, which she was understanding about. A huge bouquet of flowers shows up from her and her family to the funeral, which I thanked her for. Wow, that's class all the way.
Yeah.
In my head thinking, shit, this is going to get kind of serious only a couple weeks in. That's his thought. Oh, that, I mean, that should tell you everything about a guy. Like,
that flowers. Is so funny.
Flowers at my grandma's funeral. Oh,
fuck.
No.
She sent flowers. Now she's going to want something.
Oh, I'm in so deep.
Oh, it's so funny.
Well, after the funeral, I pretty much never heard from her again. A few texts here and there, but I could sense she wasn't really interested in hanging out. In a last-ditch effort, I sent the following. Hey, things obviously feel a lot different than they did a week or two ago. Not really sure what caused it, but I enjoyed what we had going. If you're not feeling it anymore, no worries. I don't want to make a big deal about it. Like I said, no worries and no hard feelings. If things from your perspective changed, let me know. Hmm. What do you think of that text from the guy who feels a vibe change?
I thought it was really nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Read it again. Hey, things obviously feel a lot different than they did a week or two ago. Not really sure what caused it, but I enjoyed what we had going. If you're not feeling it anymore, no worries. I don't want to make a big deal about it. Like I said, no worries and no hard feelings. If things from your perspective change, let me know. Oh, so he's letting her back in. If things change, let me. I love it. I'm
yeah,
a fan.
I think it's so nice. It's so nice. In a way, it's almost like discounting your own feelings a little bit, but it sounds like he's not that broken up about it either, so I think it's okay. But I think it's such a nice text, and it totally leaves, it's just very no pressure and very respectful.
It's also empathetic to the idea that someone is ghosting you or getting weird for their own reasons, and it's not personal to you.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I like that. I also, yeah, it wasn't like super self-deprecating or anything, which I appreciate. No. Like, he still maintains his dignity while acknowledging that there's ghosting going on.
Totally. Love the text. It is a big difference from, oh, she sent flowers to my grandma's funeral.
Yeah, it's been
this
a real
guy
whirlwind.
Keeps surprising us. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Surprises never at every turn.
Never got a response, and now 2 months later, I'm still thinking about this girl. I don't think there's a play here, but if there is, you're the guy with the answers. In my opinion, I think an ex popped up and killed my momentum, as I don't know, don't think a new guy would be able to knock me off my game that quickly.
You know what I mean?
It's a fair take, and it sounds like this guy has been listening to this podcast for a long time, because that would be my take. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Jamie
couldn't
Lee,
be
what
me.
Is this? Did I write
it
this?
It actually couldn't be me. but I think I don't know. I don't know what you can do. I think that the ex coming into the picture is actually a really astute assumption. But yeah, like, she knows where to find you. I would just leave it alone. That's my feeling. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jared?
I totally agree with you. Like, you made your play. Like,
yeah, you did.
The door's unlocked. You know where, you know, the key's under the mat. You've kind of did that in your text, because, again, we're both complimenting you on your text. You end it with, if things change from your perspective, let me know. That is as open door policy as you could make it. I can understand, and this is why ghosting sucks so much, is you don't really get an explanation you kind of invent it in your own head. Like, he's sitting there and he's inventing probably the most healthy perspective, which is an ex came back and this is that's all I can think of.
Also, I think he's also imagining that things were better than they maybe even were. Sure. I'm not, I mean, it sounds like you guys had fun, but I don't know. You didn't sound like elated, like I met the love of my life. You were just kind of like, yeah, we're having a good time. She's an 886. Sure. Like, so I don't know that, I don't know that you really want her back so badly. It might just be like sort of residual feelings of rejection, which makes total sense. No human being wouldn't have that. But if, yeah, I think it's, I think, you know, ask yourself like if this really was so worth pursuing, or if it's just kind of like, oh, that sucks that I didn't hear from her. That feels like shit.
Yeah. And I think loneliness brings you to the Rolodex of people.
Yes,
that
it does.
Were in your past.
And, that's right. That's
and
right.
And the first one on the dial is always the one that like, ah, if it just coulda, you know, yeah. Like the one that doesn't have the explanation. That's the first one you look at.
Right. Because it's actually a question mark. You really don't sure. know what happens.
Yeah.
So you're like, maybe it could have worked out. It's like, but it didn't work out. Like, she's ignoring you.
Yeah. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jamie Lee. Go, go, go. Go follow. Go get involved. The Wedding Coach @reallyJamieLee. The Wedding Coach is out on Netflix right now. Okay. You want to do... This one's called Women in Their 20s Dating Men in Their 30s Age Gap. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jared, Feather, I have a question for you that I feel like I haven't heard addressed before, so I wanted to write in, post a few bong hits. Shout out Bay Area. Okay. what?
Oh, yeah.
I recently acquired a boyfriend who's 32. I'm 23. I've dated a few other men near their 30s, in their near 30s as well. But I've noticed that my more mature friends are frequently in long-term relationships with men 5 to 10 years older than them. My best friend has been dating her boyfriend who is 30 for a year. She's 22. And one of my closest friends lives with her boyfriend who is 28 and she's 22 as well. But the interesting thing is that most of my friends who are in more age gap relationships seem to be more realistic that this isn't the long-term marriage match most likely. But the friends who are in relationships with men the same age as them, 23 to 26, they get sucked into those fantasies about being together forever. More, I think, saying I love you really quickly, planning about marriage and kids. I wonder what you think the pitfalls and benefits of the age gap relationship between older men and younger women, almost an American classic in pop culture. Also, I think something that's of note is both me and my new boyfriend have experienced in recent years life-threatening illnesses.
Aww.
Wow. Him, cancer, me, chronic inner ear and brain disorder. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
Which I feel like is a connection that sort of transcends age. I would totally
yes.
agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Does everyone think their connection transcends age? LOL. Well, I mean, I think your awareness comes from that, you know, that type of trauma. But that's something that sort of feels like has helped me grow up enough to be with someone who's 9 years older than me. Something that connects us because of the self-growth we've both done out of that. Anyways, I want to know more about your thoughts on the age gap in relationships. Jamie Lee, what do you think?
It's so tough to make a blanket choice about this because I have dated guys who were older than me and they were so immature. And then I've dated guys who were closer to my age and they were fairly mature. So it really is like person to person. I think, this might be a hot take. I don't think there is that big of a difference between dating a guy who's like 26 and a guy who's 32. I still think 32 is really young for guys. Yeah. At least the guys I know, and granted, I'm, you know, whatever, a coastal elite or whatever. And so people are getting married later and later and later in like New York and LA. But for the most part, I do think most 32-year-olds that I've met are still not really looking to have children right away necessarily. So yeah, I feel like 40 is where shit starts to get really real. But maybe that's just my experience.
No, I'm with you. I think the thing that we ignore is kind of the hard subject to talk about, and that's money.
That's a really good point.
You know, like a guy, guys are just, you know, a very much, And I think women are too, but I think like a lot of guys, their whole being, their whole self-worth is built off of career and financial stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of the self-worth that women go through is like, am I in the relationship? Am I going towards having children? And neither of these are fair, but they're just what is.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Yeah.
And so I think like the age doesn't matter as much as the path they're on. Whereas far as like, are they going to be, I do think something she said is very interesting, that her and her friends are 22 and 23 and they're dating these older men and they're kind of like, I'm having fun with this. This won't be marriage for me. So I think I think like the older men are probably put at ease that they can have kind of play house and have boyfriend, girlfriend like relationships because they're tired of being at bars. They're tired of standing in a bar with the music too loud. So they want to date someone who doesn't want to do those things. These girls, they're out of college. They want to grow up and they're like, I want to be with someone who doesn't want to be in a loud bar and wants to hang out and do boyfriend things. You know how many times women write in that they're like, I'm looking for something casual. And then they explain the type of casual they want. And that's what I consider a serious relationship. You know? So I think an older man offers a younger woman the version of casual that's actually more serious than the 25-year-old man would ever see.
Wow, that is so interesting. Yeah, I wonder also if they, on some kind of level, have a bit of a daddy complex when they're dating someone a lot younger, like they kind of slip into that, like, I'll take care of you role. And maybe that's why that's happening, is like, it's just a little bit of like, it makes them feel really masculine. And as a result, they feel like, I don't know, like, yeah, like they could scoop you up and take care of you, little 23-year-old.
Also, that goes both ways. Like, I think like, you know, 23-year-old wants to be taken care of and feel safe and not in that part of life where it's like, what job do I have? Is this the right career for me? Like, you know, but I would also say, to your point, 32-year-old guy isn't like told he's a loser for being in a studio apartment. Like, a 32-year-old guy can have a roommate, and 22-year-old woman goes, "Wow, you like have a roommate." You know, like it's like, so you're not like really judged as harshly. Like 32-year-old woman comes in and goes,
she's like, "What the fuck is this? What?
How are you fucking living?" Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is this disgusting place?
Exactly. Like, why is there a poster of you on your own wall? And 32-year-old guy thinks it's funny.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, there's a really good story behind that." And we're like, yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah. It's like,
never, you know, fuck me.
33-year-old man has a "That's what she says" poster. "That's what she said" poster. And like 23-year-old goes, "Oh my God, that's hilarious." 31-year-old goes, "Oh, this guy's never going to get married. Never going to like be serious." So
yeah.
It's interesting that like when you take those things out, those two kind of become a natural match because he's not being judged. She feels like I'm with an adult as opposed to 25-year-old guy who won't text back and won't, you know, do a date and wants to like text you late night, you up, you know, like it all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But the idea that like the 25-year-olds that are together are moving quicker, that makes sense to me too, because they're both like, you know, they're both on the track. They're both looking at each other going, we're expecting the same things out of this.
Yeah. And also like you guys really can be partners in the milestones together. Like, you know, you can be partners in like trying to get your careers on track and, you know, supporting each other when you get a promotion. Like there's kind of like, you're really building a life with someone who's your exact same age and you're kind of building the same life. So it does make sense that they might kind of talk about the future together more seriously. Yeah,
totally. And that was, and also you're going to like weddings together. You're coming to my weddings. You're meeting my friends. I'm meeting your friends. It's all very much like, oh, okay, now we're building this little community where you're socializing. This is why people wear pants, is because everyone wears pants. That's why, you know, we're all 25. They're getting married. You see it with like groups of friends. One person gets engaged, then the dominoes fall. When you went to these weddings, are wedding entrances for wedding parties still in, or have we gotten over that horrible thing? Was that a millennial I'm a narcissist thing that went on.
I do think it still happens, but at the weddings that I went to, it didn't happen. And it was, happy about it. Yeah.
The wedding entrances, there was nothing worse to me. Hey, you guys just do something funny together. And I'd be like, what? I don't need this.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Because you have to do it with, if you're a groomsman and a bridesmaid, you have to do it together. Yeah,
one time
terrible.
They told us before the wedding to bring props, and I was like, I know this relationship will not work out. Like, I knew it.
You're like,
just
I am not coming to your wedding. Yeah. Oh my God. That's heinous. I hate that.
Oh, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, here with Jamie Lee, the wedding coach. Go. Let's do one more. You ready?
Great.
Okay. I sent you one. It has screenshots. This will be our last email.
Okay. I'm going to it. Okay.
I love this email because it comes from like a different type of person than we usually answer emails from. This is a great perspective. I love it. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
It's called It's Not You, It's Not Me, It's You. Okay. Jared, Feather, love the pod, man. You're really killing it. Been a listener since the pandemic started, and your logical way of cutting through the BS has really helped me navigate my first year of dating after being in a relationship 18 years.
Wow.
Welcome to the show, people. I'm divorced with 3 kids living in the burbs, so there are some obvious dating, quote unquote, challenges. But I've generally enjoyed being single again, met some cool people along the way. Love it. I'm ultimately looking to get into a long-term relationship, but not until I've met someone I'm crazy about. If I'm not into someone after a couple of dates, I'm pretty good at being straightforward and honest and telling them they aren't the match for me. Quote unquote, he writes in parentheses, thanks. And while that can sometimes be difficult to hear, it's better than ghosting or dragging it out and acting weird. Love it. I recently met someone on Hinge who lives around the corner from me in my smallish town on the outskirts of a big Canadian city. We have a lot of mutual friends, so we were both cautious at first, considering exes and kids are also in town. But we hit it off right away. We went out on a couple of dates and things were great. Had a couple of sleepovers. We also had terrific physical chemistry. After nice. About 2 weeks, I started to recognize that I wasn't as into her as I had hoped, and it wasn't going to be a long-term situation for me. So, not wanting to creep any closer to a relationship, I decided to end it. Have a look at the text exchange attached.
Okay.
So they have some sleepovers. Great physically. They seem to be getting along.
He realizes
it's not a long-term thing for him. So then I guess this is her response.
It's heartbreaking.
To him saying, this isn't the match. You ready?
Yeah. Should we read? Should want me to read her and I'll.
Yeah. You be her. I'll be him.
Okay. Did I do something wrong? You've been really quiet the last couple of days. These new restrictions have me in a bad way tonight, so maybe I'm just being super sensitive, or maybe not. Just feeling sad in general today. Ugh.
Okay. No, you haven't done anything wrong. I've been with the kids and busy with work. We're moving really fast and I didn't expect it, but that's got me thinking a lot. I think you're really great, but I don't feel like this is the match for me. Sorry if this seems sudden, but I don't think it's right to keep seeing each other if I'm not 100% feeling it.
Whoa. Okay. Really? She says, are you serious? So correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't you planning as many dates as I was and wanting to see me? Weren't you into me and happy on Tuesday when we hung out? Sorry, where is the Tuesday when we hung out? You're going to have to explain more than what you just said, because that doesn't make sense to me at all. And you did this over text out of the blue. Really, Mike? Oy.
Hey, I think you're looking at this as if I was pretending to be into you.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Just not the case, and I don't think it's fair at all. I'm just not feeling as strong of a connection now. I'm being as straightforward and direct as I know how.
What changed since Tuesday then? Because you seemed pretty connected then. I guess you're not going to respond. Obviously, from my perspective, this makes no sense whatsoever, and I believe I deserve a better explanation. But I will say that what upsets me the most is that I believed you were such a good guy, and good guys don't do this by text message.
Blank. I'm with my kids. I'm sorry I'm not able to respond right away. I'm not going to go back and forth with you on this, and clearly I can't control what you think of me. I know who I am, and throwing insults at me definitely isn't going to make this any easier for you. I'm sorry you feel blindsided. This is tough. So he writes, my question is, how could I have handled this better? Does it need to be done? Does it need to be a phone call? We've only been seeing each other for 2 weeks and never spoken on the phone. We're both with our young kids, so a call was not an option anyway. I suppose I could have kept up some light texting with her for 4 more days until we could see each other in person. Mm. Based on her replies, I'm glad I made the call, so no regrets there. But still don't want to end up in a confrontations like this going forward. Thanks for your hard work. Behind the mic, you're truly the Sultan. So what do we think, Jamie Lee? How would he have done? What's a better...
Yeah.
What do you think?
First of all, I just want to say, when you say like based on her response, I think her response is normal. I know it seems like irritating because she's like, wait, I need more of an explanation. But like, you just rejected her. Like, no one's going to be like, cool, thanks for the heads up when you guys were like having sex for 2 weeks. Like, you can bond pretty quickly with people in 2 weeks. I think we need to stop like minimizing the time and start focusing on like how much you connect and hang out in that short amount of time. Because I think it's very easy to be like, it was just 2 weeks. I feel like we hear that a lot. And it's like, yeah, but people aren't crazy. Like 2 weeks can feel like a lot. So
I mean, he even says that in his email. Like they started getting to know each other. Like the 2 weeks, they're both kind of doing the same thing. And they both have a right to, I guess. But I agree with you. Like, let's not say like, good thing we didn't end up together. Look how she reacted.
Her reaction. No. Yeah. Her reaction is normal. Like very normal.
Totally normal.
And then I think as far, maybe you should have called her. I guess that might have been a little less jarring just to receive a text message that's negative. I've had those come in and it is so jarring. Like no matter what you're doing, your like face drops and the blood drains out of you and you're just like, oh, fuck. Like, and then whatever you're doing, you have to like pretend that everything's fine, even though everyone can tell you're upset. Like, it's just a tricky thing. I don't think you're a bad guy for sending a text, and I probably would have done the same thing, honestly. But I do think a phone call is better. And I don't think you should have waited 4 days to say it in person. I don't think that's necessary, but I do think a phone call is nice.
Yeah, I guess, listen, you're never going to be right. You're never going to be right.
No, you broke up with her, so you're the villain. Like, and literally nothing you say is going to make it better.
And that's okay. I've been told in the past, like, that's kind of like her right is to kind of throw the emotional insult
the tantrum
at you. Like, because you broke up with her. You got the chance to come to this conclusion. Yeah. You got the lead time. You got to think about it. She's now kind of having this like sprung on her. So I think that's like she gets that opportunity to do that, to come back at you with what she wrote. And she's going to lean on the text to say, this is to show you you're not such a great person.
Yes.
Like, you know, just because you told me that we're broken up doesn't mean, just because you didn't ghost doesn't mean you're this 100% like hero here. And that's kind of what she's saying.
That's true. And also, it sounds like there was a little ghosting up top. She said, you've been quiet. Like, you know, she knew something was up. And I think that it sucks when what you think is going on is confirmed. I think that's like a shitty feeling. But I honestly do, just based on your texts, I actually think your texts are good. I mean, I think you're pretty,
The texts are good. I think you can like say, like, I think like if she wants a bigger explanation, you do have to think of like, what are the things, like, I don't think like there's no explanation you can give because it's just not the match. Like there's not going to, you're not going to teach her how to be a better person because she's a good person. Like there's no better. It's just this wasn't feeling it for you, even though you had a good time. There was something off. I think going and sitting with her and taking, you know, that conversation, it might be okay. It might help. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that would be like if you went and had that conversation with her, the things that she would say back to you might change. She might say, I can't believe you do this after we hung out on Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be something. So I think you have to, like, be open to, hey, if you want to talk about this more, I can talk to you about it. But you can't, I think the one thing that I like to say, like, throwing insults at me definitely isn't going to make this any easier for you. Like, you can't speak in her terms. It's not up to you to say that to her. I think you have to speak in your own. I feel sorry that this didn't work out because I do enjoy your company, but this wasn't a long-term match for me, and I don't stay with people if I don't see a long-term, you know, long-term yeah. match, especially considering all the people that I know in common with you and that those types of things. Like, I think there's a way to, like, do this without lashing out and trying to teach, because you can't teach her. There's nothing to teach. Like, and I as far as, like, leading into it, like, you know, maybe going to her house and saying, hey, I'd like to, like, talk this out with you. Maybe that's something where you go that, you know, it becomes easier because it isn't over text. And that in when you say, like, oh, well, we've never spoken over the phone before, that doesn't matter. That's a lot of people. I think there's people that, like, are in serious relationships that have never spoken over the phone that yes. have just done everything over text. That happens.
Definitely.
Totally. But again, I think this kind of goes to show you that, like, it's hard on everyone, but you have to expect that it's not going to be just like, goodbye, oh, see you later. Like, just, there's no perfect text.
That's right. Yeah, and again, like, you know, you have to, I think when you are ending it with someone, you have to sort of in your mind be okay with the fact that, like, there is a level of rejection that's happening for them, and they might say things that don't feel great for you, but, like, you are in the position of power, so you have to just, like, let people say their piece, because you can't control their reaction. You can only control yourself.
Absolutely. And then the respect comes in, like, respecting the boundary afterwards. Like,
yeah.
Listen, dude, if you send, like, you know, like, if you send a text 3 weeks from now, hey, I've been thinking about you, then you're really not, you know, you don't get to live on, you know, Morality Mountain anymore, because now you're saying, oh, maybe I made a mistake, but you're yeah. putting this person through this whole emotional roller coaster of back and forth and back and forth. That's the thing. That's the part where it becomes unfair. And so this is, like, again, this is, you know, breakups are diet and exercise. Like, they stink. They're horrible.
That is so true.
There's no text that you're going to send that's like, oh, good to know. Like, there's always yeah. going to be something.
Absolutely.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Jamie Lee, thank you so much. This is so fantastic.
Oh, this was so fun. Thank you for having me.
You're the best. Everyone needs to go follow @reallyjamielee. The Wedding Coach, it's going to be all over my Instagram, but The Wedding Coach is on Netflix right now. Go binge the whole season. It's a fun watch. Put your brain on the shelf. Watch it with a significant other. Great date night activity. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday and Thursday. We'll be back next week. Boom.